When my mother wore her expensive Manolo Blahnik stilettos to her modest new apartment after my father died, declaring, "At least my shoes are better than this place," I finally understood something profound about narcissism. It wasn't just toxic self-absorption, it was her coping mechanism when feeling vulnerable. This insight forms the foundation of Dr. Craig Malkin's groundbreaking book, Rethinking Narcissism, which challenges our cultural understanding of this misunderstood trait. The book has become required reading in psychology programs nationwide and has been praised by relationship experts like Dr. Sue Johnson, who calls it a truly accessible guide to understanding the spectrum of narcissism. Celebrities, including Emma Watson, have cited it as transformative for understanding difficult relationships. Far from being a simple self-help manual, Malkin's work represents a paradigm shift in how we view narcissism, not as a binary diagnosis, but as a universal human trait existing on a spectrum where both too much and too little can be problematic. Narcissism isn't what most people think. It's not simply vanity, selfishness, or arrogance, though these can be symptoms of its extreme form. At its core, narcissism is the drive to feel special, a universal human tendency that exists on a spectrum from 0 to 10. At the healthy middle of this spectrum, 4 to 6, narcissism manifests as healthy self-confidence, ambition, and the ability to enjoy attention without becoming addicted to it. People in this range can dream of success without being consumed by it. They enjoy feeling special occasionally, but don't need constant validation. Research consistently shows that moderate self-enhancement correlates with happiness, resilience, and success. War survivors and trauma victims who maintain positive self-illusions often recover better psychologically than their more realistic counterparts. Too little narcissism, 0 to 3, creates echoists, people who fear attention and avoid feeling special at all costs. Named after the nymph Echo from Greek mythology, who could only repeat others' words, echoists constantly deflect praise, refuse help, and struggle to express their needs. They're so afraid of appearing selfish that they become invisible in their own lives. Too much narcissism, 7 to 10, creates the familiar narcissistic personality, people addicted to feeling special who manipulate others for validation. At the extreme end, they become so consumed with maintaining their special status that they lose empathy entirely, treating others as mere tools for their advancement. Most mentally healthy people demonstrate flexibility, moving up or down a few points depending on circumstances. Narcissism typically spikes during vulnerability, major life transitions, or adolescence, when it serves a developmental purpose by helping establish identity, before naturally declining as we focus on adult responsibilities. Contrary to popular belief, narcissism manifests in three distinct types, not just the familiar extroverted form. Extroverted narcissists are the stereotypical attention seekers who flaunt wealth and status. Introverted narcissists, also called vulnerable, covert, or hypersensitive, believe in their superiority but fear criticism so deeply they appear shy. Unlike true self-effacers, they don't feel inferior but believe they possess unrecognized gifts and special sensitivities, often seething with bitterness over the world's failure to recognize their uniqueness. Communal narcissists see themselves as exceptionally nurturing and empathetic, priding themselves on their giving nature while believing they're better than others for their selflessness. Despite these differences, all narcissists share the same core motivation, a desperate clinging to feeling special. Certain demographics and professions show patterns of narcissism. It tends to decline with age, with people under 25 showing the highest levels. Gender differences exist primarily among extroverted narcissists, where men slightly outnumber women in the mildly unhealthy range and dramatically dominate at the extreme end. Certain professions attract people from different regions of the spectrum. High narcissism individuals gravitate toward positions offering power, praise, and fame. Politicians rank higher than librarians, professors, and clergy. The performing arts also attracts narcissists, with reality TV stars scoring highest, followed by actors and comedians. To understand the practical implications of the narcissism spectrum, consider three individuals representing different positions. Sandy, a 28-year-old administrative assistant, exemplifies life at the echoist end, around 2. She becomes visibly uncomfortable when receiving praise, even canceling an office party her boss planned to honor her work. She finds compliments unbearable and resists when others try to do things for her, creating tension in relationships. Her boyfriend Joe grows frustrated with her inability to accept care or make simple choices about her preferences. Echoists stay in the shadows to avoid standing out, deeply dreading becoming burdens to others. Their vigilance against appearing selfish prevents them from recognizing their own needs. Gary, a 24-year-old business school student facing academic dismissal, represents life at the extreme narcissistic end, around 9. Arriving late to therapy in executive attire, he displays classic narcissistic traits: arrogance, entitlement, and the conviction he's above normal rules. Despite missing assignments and facing expulsion, Gary believes the university needs him more than he needs it. People at this extreme cling desperately to their special status, sometimes reaching delusional levels of self-importance. Their sense of being special exceptions explains their rage at small slights and willingness to do whatever it takes to get their way. Lisa, a 41-year-old nonprofit executive director, exemplifies healthy narcissism in the middle of the spectrum. When her husband Doug confronted her about becoming too self-involved with work, she immediately recognized her error and took steps to correct it. Lisa displays the hallmarks of healthy narcissism. She draws inspiration from grand ideas and has become a creative leader in her field, but never makes others feel beneath her. Instead, she makes people feel important in her presence, a defining characteristic of those in the middle of the spectrum. While not particularly modest, people like Lisa don't need to brag to feel good about themselves. What creates echoists and narcissists? While nature provides our basic temperament, nurture plays the decisive role in determining where we fall on the narcissism spectrum. Signs of heightened narcissistic drive can appear as early as age 3 through attention craving and rule resistance, while echoists might be born with a more fragile nature prone to guilt and shame. However, even children with extreme temperaments can develop healthy narcissism with proper nurturing. The crucial factor that pushes children toward unhealthy narcissism is insecure love. Children need to feel unconditionally loved regardless of their achievements or behaviors. Parents who only celebrate children when they stand out create approval-seeking narcissists. Parents who intrude and control breed narcissistic children who learn to prioritize their needs above others. Conversely, emotionally fragile parents who seem overwhelmed by their children's needs create echoists who minimize their presence to earn love. Jean, 62, sought therapy feeling lost after her youngest child left for college. Her stern Catholic judge father instilled the belief that discussing oneself was arrogant and prideful. His warnings against getting a big head left her ashamed of aspirations. She abandoned her passion for dancing, focusing solely on her children and tolerating her husband's affairs. Now empty-nested, she feels utterly lost, having never learned to nurture her own dreams, the hallmark of echoism. Chad, 27, sought therapy after his second relationship collapsed due to his cheating. Despite his poor job performance and academic record, he maintains grandiose expectations about becoming a lawyer like his father. Though Chad describes his childhood as great, his father was temperamental and demanding. His parents offered abundant praise but no emotional support. They dismissed his problems with, "Great men don't complain," and "You worry too much." Unlike the theory that excessive coddling creates narcissism, Chad's story reveals something deeper. Praise was the only gift his parents gave him, while teaching him to hide vulnerability. Healthy narcissism emerges when parents teach children to feel special without having to insist on it, encouraging dreams while providing secure love. Gina, a 23-year-old art student, exemplifies this balance. Her parents supported her scientific curiosity and artistic ambitions, making her feel important without demanding perfection. When Gina faced disappointment, she learned to accept setbacks without losing faith in herself or others. Her mother modeled vulnerability by apologizing when she made mistakes, teaching Gina that imperfection is acceptable. Most narcissists we encounter aren't at the extreme end of the spectrum, but occupy the milder regions where their behaviors are harder to spot. These relationships often feel slightly off, with partners periodically slipping in and out of problematic behaviors. Subtle narcissists, like Sherry, a 25-year-old web designer, present as cheerful but increasingly self-absorbed. Her relationship with Kevin deteriorated as she became emotionally absent, endlessly talking about her work achievements while ignoring his grief and needs. Though she once worshipped the ground he walked on, her ambition transformed into entitlement. She expects Kevin to be her rock despite giving nothing in return. This reveals the hallmark of subtle narcissism, not obnoxious arrogance, but poor listening skills, constant comparison to others, and preoccupation with personal ranking. While healthy entitlement helps us assert boundaries when appropriate, subtle narcissists experience entitlement surges, moments when they angrily behave as if the world owes them special treatment. These surges typically occur when they feel their special status is threatened. Like Sherry demanding Kevin's support without reciprocating, subtle narcissists expect others could revolve around them during crises. This resembles a normally happy drunk suddenly becoming surly, the boss who tears into employees when his project falters, or the friend who turns cold when you confide in someone else. When entitlement surges become frequent, they evolve into exploitation, the hallmark of moving from narcissistic dependence to addiction. Roger, a recently divorced 48-year-old former stockbroker, exemplifies this shift to extreme narcissism. After losing his job, he secretly invested his family's retirement savings against his wife's explicit wishes. His justification, "I deserved a shot," reveals how exploitation follows entitlement. For extreme narcissists, others exist merely to support their self-esteem. Narcissists are masters of charm, but eventually reveal their true nature. The key to early detection lies in observing how they handle vulnerability. They actively avoid showing sadness, fear, loneliness, or worry. Unlike most people who can apologize after making mistakes, narcissists seem incapable of showing contrition because connecting emotionally requires sharing the very feelings their narcissism exists to conceal. 5 warning signs help identify narcissistic tendencies before they cause significant damage. 1. Emotion phobia. Narcissists avoid acknowledging emotions at all costs. They may respond to hurt feelings with condescending anger rather than admitting vulnerability. Some might deny their anger even while shouting. This extends beyond their own feelings. They often withdraw when others express vulnerability. 2. Emotional hot potato. Beyond merely avoiding emotions, narcissists actively transfer their uncomfortable feelings to others. Rather than just misattributing their feelings, they deliberately provoke those emotions in you. A narcissist might accuse you of being angry until you actually become angry, or criticize your choices until you feel the self-doubt they're trying to escape. 3. Stealth control. Narcissists need control but avoid directly asking for what they want, as this would acknowledge their dependence on others. Instead, they arrange situations to get their way without making requests. This subtle manipulation operates through preemptive actions, strategic discomfort, or spontaneous adventures that override others' plans. 4. Pedestalization. Narcissists often idealize new partners, placing them on pedestals to feel special themselves. While healthy narcissism involves seeing partners through rose-colored glasses, unhealthy narcissists try to eliminate imperfections entirely, creating an unrealistic image that prevents genuine intimacy. 5. Twin fantasy. Narcissists constantly seek evidence that they and their partners are essentially the same person, a fantasy that provides validation without vulnerability. This twinship creates a sense that they're uniquely bonded, understanding each other perfectly when no one else does. When reality inevitably reveals differences, narcissists either cling desperately to the fantasy or simply leave. While conventional wisdom insists narcissists never change, recent research challenges this pessimistic view. Studies by researchers like Finkel, Campbell, Bafardi, Hepper, Hart, and Sedekus demonstrate that narcissists exposed to nurturing experiences show increased empathy and commitment. In one study, narcissists who viewed a domestic abuse survivor's story while being prompted to take her perspective showed measurable empathy through increased heart rate, while those watching normally showed no such response. The key to helping narcissists change lies in encouraging them to feel more caring and compassionate, which requires you to first share your own vulnerability. This means moving beyond surface anger to express deeper feelings of sadness, fear, or shame. Effective empathy prompts combine affirming the relationship's importance, "You matter to me," with revealing your authentic feelings. "When you show up late, I feel sad, like I'm not important to you." If you scored above 6 on the narcissism spectrum, change is possible, but requires recognizing your addiction to feeling special without taking emotional risks. First, identify your protective strategies, whether arrogance, boasting, put-downs, brooding, rage, idol worship, or emotional hot potato. When you notice yourself using these vulnerability dodges, pause to identify the underlying insecurity, usually fear of inadequacy, shame about unworthiness, sadness over rejection, or loneliness. Instead of defaulting to anger or frustration, practice sharing these vulnerable feelings with people who care about you. When narcissists refuse to change despite gentle approaches, management becomes the goal rather than transformation. With unavoidable relationships, like narcissistic parents or co-parents, self-protection must become your priority. Consider limiting contact and implementing a connection contract that clearly states boundaries. "I'm not comfortable with yelling and criticism. If I hear either, I'll leave." Even when leaving is clearly the best option with narcissistic partners, powerful emotional barriers can make separation feel impossible. Self-blame often keeps us trapped. If we convince ourselves we're the problem, we maintain hope that we can fix things by simply improving ourselves. To break free from self-blame, we must confront disappointment, a feeling many learn to suppress. Healthy disappointment isn't a threat to intimacy, but deepens it by putting us back in touch with our needs. Jane, a designer at a software company, had begun calling in sick frequently due to dread about facing her project manager, Drew. Though successful at launching products, Drew alienated coworkers by dismissing their ideas, treating them with contempt, and stealing credit for their work. Research shows that dealing with narcissistic colleagues requires both self-protection and strategic nudging toward empathy. Self-protection begins with thorough documentation of all exchanges, ideas, and incidents. Keep records safely outside work. The best approach combines self-protection with strategic language that reminds narcissists of relationships, using we and us whenever possible. Rather than directly challenging bad behavior, question its relevance to completing the task. "Can you help me understand how this helps us solve the problem?" When feeling helpless after an interaction, you're likely receiving projected insecurities. Invite the person to acknowledge these feelings by naming them. Jane learned to speculate about Drew's worries when he became hypercritical, saying things like, "I get it, we're really under scrutiny here, and you're especially feeling it today." Drew admitted feeling on edge, allowing them to discuss management pressures. Rather than confronting narcissists with punishment-style interventions, focus on encouraging positive behaviors through strategic reinforcement. Look for moments when narcissists demonstrate better behavior and underscore them. When they show collaboration, interest in others, or concern for those around them, highlight these moments with appreciation. Jane noticed when Drew asked her opinion and responded, "I appreciate your asking me. Whenever you do that, I feel like a more valuable team member, and that makes me want to work harder." Parenting involves two key components: warmth, caring and nurturance, and control, direction and guidance. Children need both in proper balance. Four distinct parenting styles emerge from these components, each affecting a child's narcissism differently. 1. Authoritarian parents are highly controlling and emotionally distant. They make heavy demands without flexibility or responsiveness to children's needs. Children raised in these environments often become anxious, depressed, socially inept, and ironically, underachievers. 2. Permissive parents offer warmth but insufficient control. This approach is all warmth with no direction, potentially leading children to believe they're too special for rules. This fosters unhealthy narcissism, especially when continued into adolescence. 3. Indifferent parents combine coldness with under control. This complete emotional absence typically leads children toward delinquency and extreme narcissism. 4. Authoritative parents blend warmth with appropriate discipline, adjusting expectations to the child's age and needs. This balanced approach creates children who feel safe and secure, developing into happy, successful adults with healthy narcissism. Authoritative parenting strategies share one common thread: teaching children to consider their impact on others. Specific techniques include: practice firm empathy, combine deep listening with maintaining necessary boundaries, acknowledge feelings while still holding firm on plans. I know it's scary for you, it's awful to be so afraid, but fear only gets worse if you stop doing what you're afraid of. Catch the good. Highlight and reward caring behaviors rather than rushing to criticize every instance of selfishness. Research shows that strengthening communal behaviors helps shift narcissistic tendencies toward the center of the spectrum. Model vulnerability. The antidote to narcissistic addiction is acknowledging softer feelings like fear, sadness, and loneliness. Parents should model this vulnerability rather than withdrawing when children's behavior becomes challenging. Set limits. Setting clear boundaries for unacceptable behaviors, like hitting, emotional cruelty, and name-calling, is essential. Timeouts and consistent consequences create predictability, which helps children feel safe. Coach your child. Effective parenting involves teaching children what to do instead of just what not to do. Since aggression often stems from difficulty communicating feelings, parents should help children name and express emotions constructively. Social media, abbreviated as SoMe, has been both celebrated and vilified for its effects on narcissism. Research on its psychological impact reveals contradictory findings. Some studies claim it destroys self-esteem, while others suggest it boosts it. Different platforms encourage different behaviors. Some focus on appearance or fame, others on conversation or shared interests. Social media easily pushes users toward narcissistic extremes by facilitating inauthentic relationships. Research shows that editing social media profiles increases narcissistic tendencies, with users more likely to agree with grandiose statements after curating their online presence. Conversely, excessive consumption of others' carefully crafted profiles damages healthy narcissism. Studies reveal that female college students who spent time examining friends' Facebook photos felt worse about their bodies, especially when comparing themselves to increasingly edited and filtered images. While social media can damage self-esteem, it can also enhance it when used properly. Research comparing Facebook to MySpace found Facebook boosted self-esteem without increasing narcissism because it fostered community rather than individual exhibitionism. The key is moving from SoMe to SoWe, placing genuine relationships at the center of our online experience. 6 strategies help achieve this. Surround yourself with real friends rather than collecting strangers. Be open about both triumphs and struggles rather than passively consuming others' content. Find purposeful communities that offer support and connection. Avoid image-churning behaviors like constant profile updates. Be intentional about why you're posting. And follow wisely, being conscious of whom you emulate online. Authentic passion requires a delicate balance of healthy narcissism, those essential moments when we dare to prioritize our desires, dreams, and imagination above all else. This self-focus isn't selfish, rather, it's a necessary ingredient for a fulfilling life. Yet this passion must carefully interweave with genuine care for others to avoid becoming hollow or destructive. Healthy narcissism emerges when we feel secure enough in our relationships to pursue our desires, knowing we matter to those we love. This creates a sustainable passion that differs markedly from both the timid restraint of the egoist and the desperate intensity of the pathological narcissist. The sweet spot between self-absorption and self-erasure enables genuine intimacy in relationships. When we feel sufficiently valued, we can vulnerably share our deepest desires, fears, and ambitions with others. This authenticity creates a positive feedback loop. The more we acknowledge our own worth, the more genuinely we can connect with others, which in turn reinforces our sense of value. The truly good life exists in this dynamic fusion of passion and compassion, offering both the thrill of self-discovery and the warmth of meaningful connection. Real-world transformations occur when people journey toward the center of the narcissism spectrum. Take Jean and Robert's story. Jean gradually allowed herself to feel special in Robert's eyes, expressing previously hidden vulnerabilities. This openness created space for Robert to feel truly seen and understood, perhaps for the first time in his life. As their trust deepened, Robert discovered Jean's secret enthusiasm for swing dancing, a passion she had long suppressed. They began taking classes together, finding joy in both individual expression and shared experience. Their journey illustrates how even those stuck in echo and narcissist patterns can flourish when they meet in the middle. Jean learned to voice her needs without guilt, while Robert discovered the pleasure of supporting another's dreams without losing himself. Together, they created a relationship where personal passions enhanced rather than threatened their bond. This balance of healthy self-interest with genuine care for others' needs demonstrates how individuals can craft lives where passion and compassion don't just coexist, but actively strengthen each other. The ultimate gift lies in this integration, the ability to pursue our deepest desires while remaining connected to those we love, creating a life that's both personally fulfilling and relationally rich. It's about finding the courage to matter to ourselves while staying open to mattering to others.